Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode, listen, I stay excited because the Bible is the source of life, and we are studying this week from, again, the second book of Kings. This chronology tells us of the exploits of all of the men that were kings over Israel, and all of the men and a woman that was king over Judah. I highly suggest now that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that particular purpose. And as I do always, I am personally thanking you of those who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, before we get started, the theme song for the show suggests, and it always will, that the question for this hour is, are we standing on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ? Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's taken from Mark 16, verse 16. The promise, if you want salvation, you must believe and be baptized. Again, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. My precious brothers and sisters, faith is key. If you can believe, you will achieve. And it will be nothing that will not be accomplished if it's within your physical ability to do such. Jesus said again, listen, my brothers and sisters, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receive me. And whosoever shall receive me, receive him that has sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. My precious brothers and sisters, that's taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 78. So my God, this is what it means. The blessing is that you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be those who others look toward. You must be like Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, are you standing? Are we standing on these promises of Jesus Christ? Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, before we go to the lesson, as I do again, must rehearse this to you. This is so pertinent. It is invaluable to know that the Bible is written in code. It means mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, symbols, and the like. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we're on the air tonight, to study and learn together. And if you have any questions, let's have dialogue, because we are both studying and learning together. Okay, let's go to the study. We're going to turn our Bible sources to 2 Kings, verse 1 through 6. And remember, this study is in the book of Kings, so it's chronologizing the activities and the exploits of these men that were kings over Israel and Judah. So hold close to what is being taught. Some of it may sound repetitive, and it is, but it is still significant. This is a history story. Listen to what 2 Kings verse 14, 1 through 6 says. And I want you to keep in mind, this is the instruction that we're going to draw this particular text reading to. Amaziah, king of Judah. All right, so we're going to listen to what this particular king of Judah did. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. It says, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehonadab of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like David his father, he did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, which had slain the king his father. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So that gives a little journal on Amaziah the king. Now let's go to books. We're going to look at our New Testament complement, and we're going to get a comparison, or at least what the New Testament has to say likewise concerning the same about ruling kings. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. And this is a take on how you should be active and responsive to God today and not be deceitful and disobedient as some of these men were. Listen to what happened to Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I see that we're at our first break. Let's take our first break, and then we'll complete the instruction.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your makeup. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, I'm standing. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fading, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through. Struggles that you stood through. Weaknesses that you stood through. Crises that you stood through. Pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny. When you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're talking about Amaziah, the king of Judah, and his deceit. And this is the New Testament complement, and it's identifying deceit. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, deceit. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart with lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Deceit, my brothers and sisters, while it remained, was it not thy own, Peter said? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. But Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. The wages of sin is death, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is to show you that even in deceit, you have to be careful because you can't deceive God. And when you're dealing with God, you must realize that you have to be honest. Verse 6 continues, and the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much, because she had conspired deceit with her husband. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her body and carried her forth, buried her with her husband. So that's the key, my brothers and sisters, that you must not be deceitful. If you're deceitful, you have to consider if that deceit is against God and the result of being deceitful against God. Now, let's go to the next instruction. And we are reading now the deceit of this particular king. And now we're going to go to the next instruction, instruction number 38. And it's going to be Judah and Israel fight one another. That's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. It is 2 Kings, verse 14, 8 through 14. Now, we know that Judah and Israel are brothers, just like Cain and Abel were brothers. That's the key. Now, listen to what instruction 38 says about this. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Judah, or Jehah, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son or to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. Though thou hast indeed smitten Eden, and thy heart has lifted thee up, glory of this, and tarry at home. For why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah, with thee? Now, this is a confrontation that Amaziah was having with Jehoahaz, king of Israel. So it was Judah against Israel. They are confronting one another. And this is the completion of the thought. It's, well, I did read, no, the completion of the thought is verse 11 through 14. Listen to what it says, my precious brothers and sisters. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore, Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Bethlehem, meaning they start fighting one another at Beth Shemesh, not Bethlehem, but Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent, meaning Judah got the best of Israel. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth-Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostage and returned to Samaria. So this is what happened in the war that they had, Judah versus Israel. In one of them, Judah and Israel fought all the time from the time they were separated. And right now, today, they're not at war, literally, but they're still separated. Today in Judah, in Israel, is the tribe of Judah with maybe Benjamin and somewhat of Levi. And the rest of the tribes of Israel are lost to Israel. They're not in Israel. And that's key to know, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to Revelations chapter 12. We're going to get a compliment out of this. We're going to see what Revelations chapter 12 talks about fighting and war and the like, and how it is This is the ultimate. And we're going to go to Revelations chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Revelations chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And this is the ultimate. In heaven, there should be commonality. But of course, there was a war in heaven, just like the war in Israel. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there found place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, meaning that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accursed them before or accused them before God day and night. Now remember when Israel was all and in the guard or in the wilderness, how there was conflict constantly. All right, the same thing in heaven when you had the angels, those Satan and his angels were still in that environment with God, and there was conflict, and eventually they were cast out. And that is how this New Testament complement supports what happened in Israel physically. And we know what happened in heaven is spiritual, but it's still pertinent to the point. I see we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we'll go on to the next instruction.
God loves you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath a weight of his wind and mercy.
God loves you. And he loves you with a love that you don't even know anything about. Because there is no human love comparable to divine love.
God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have fellowship with you.
It doesn't make any difference how far you tried to run from God. He loves you. His eye is on you. He sees you.
God created us in his image, and you as a person are important to God. The Bible says that God has the hairs of your head numbered. Every moment of your life is watched by God.
Oh, how he loves us so.
God is listening, and God loves you. He's your friend. He'll put his arm around you,
and he understands, and he answers, and he's sympathetic to your problems.
God loves you, and the Bible says that God sent his Son from heaven to this earth for you. Jesus Christ came to this earth to take your sins upon a cross.
And he would have died had you been the only person in the whole world. He loves you. Don't ever forget he loves, 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 loves you.
Yeah, he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us. Whoa, how he loves us.
When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, he did that for you. That's how much he loves us.
The Bible says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're on instruction number 39, and the instruction is Jeroboam II, King of Israel. And we're going to read the text, which is 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 23 through 29. That's 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 23 through 29. And again, the instruction is number 39, Jeroboam II, King of Israel. And this is what it says. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. You can see here in this instance that the names could confuse you. Be careful with that because we're talking about two different national kingdoms. One's in Judah, one's in Israel. And in this instance, both of them had kings named Joash at the same time. Listen to verse 23. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all of the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was made Israel to sin. He restored the course. He did restore the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was at Gopher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under the heaven, but he'd save them from the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and that what he did and his might now and how he warred and how he restored or recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belongeth to Judah, for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicle of Kings of Israel? Now again, we're just getting a snippet of what Jeroboam II did, and you can see that some of what he did was not according to obedience from God. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at the compliment in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see what was said in the Matthew chapter 2 concerning disobedience and what happens when you're disobedient. And this is what it says in verse 7 to begin with. It says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Verse 8, and he said to them, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Then let's go to verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all of the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And then verse 19 through 21 completes the thought. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and her mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. My brothers and sisters, God provided Jesus in that instance, and we already read what happened with Jeroboam II, that God provided for Israel, did not let them be destroyed, because Israel still is a part of Judah, even though they had split because of disobedience. That's the key. So we as being part of humanity, we have a chance with God. God wills that all mankind be saved. That's the key. We want to understand that. That's why we that are Christian, that are obeying God's commandments, if you will, are to be his ambassadors, you know, his ministers to the world. Jesus says, go out and preach and teach and baptize. That is the reason for what we're doing. And that's the compliment and what it means and what I want you to understand as I share this with you in the book of Kings. All right, let's go back now to instruction number 40. And in instruction number 40, we're going to look at another king of Judah this time and not of Israel. And this is Azariah, the king of Judah. And this is what it says to about him in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Listen, my brothers and sisters, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. So now we're back and we'll go back and forth as this chronology teaches and is written. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehochaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. So the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the son's king, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. So my brothers and sisters, even though Azariah did some of what was required of him, God decided that he was not worthy to not be smitten with a disease, and he had leprosy. Now let's go to Acts chapter 12. Turn with me. We're going to go to our New Testament complement and Acts chapter 12, and we're going to see in Acts chapter 12, verse 21 through 23, how when you are not compliant with God, he may strike you down dead. Listen to what happened to Herod in Acts chapter verse 21 through 23. And remember, the comparison is he only made a leper of Azariah, but in this instance, Herod Agape, or Herod Agrippa, he killed. Listen to what Acts chapter 12, verse 21 through 23 says. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed his royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto all of who were in his presence. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. My brothers and sisters, you got to be careful how you deal with God. He could be, as he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, I believe it was, when Moses was on the mountain, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God will do as he does. So this is examples we have. We must be very careful how we respond to God. We must be positive as much as possible always and not negative. I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
The biggest poison in us is regret.
I think there are a lot of people that have dreams and aspirations of things that they always wanted to do, but it wasn't the right time, or they didn't have enough money, or they didn't have enough experience. It's never the right time. You're never going to have the right experience. And all of a sudden, you wake up and you're 70. And you're like, God, I wish I could have done it.
It's what you don't do that screws with you later on.
I get one shot at this life. This is it. And I don't want to go through life being the 80% version of me. I don't want to look back and be like 77 and be like, I didn't do that. There's so much I want to do, and I love life so much, I don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to instruction number 40, Azariah, king of Judah. Oh, we've completed that. Instruction number 41, I'm corrected. Zechariah, king of Israel. So we're going back and forth, and you can see that Zechariah was also a king of Israel. This is not the Zechariah that was the prophet, but this is the king of Israel. And it's 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 15, verse 8 through 12. Listen to what it says about Zechariah, the king of Israel. In the 30th and 8th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shalom, the son of Jabez, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he had spoke unto Jehud, thy sons shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation, and so it came to pass. Now, a lot is being identified in this small verse or two or three that we won't go into any details. The point is that Zechariah was killed. He didn't reign very long, and he was killed because of his disapproval by God. Now, let's go to Revelations chapter 20. Turn your Bible sources with me to Revelations chapter 20, and we're going to look at chapter 20, verse 1 through 4, and listen to what happens in the end times, which we have not completed that experience, but we're in that time frame. Revelations chapter 20, verse 1 through 4, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of a bottomless pit, and had a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he should be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of the God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. My precious brothers and sisters, this is similar to what happened to Zechariah. He only lasted for a minute. And he was taken away and killed. In this instance, we're not talking about death, but we're talking about imprisonment. And you can see that this is what happened to Satan in the time that has been allotted in the book of Revelations. And some have said that this has already occurred, but we do not know with exactness because of the lack of the accurate time frame in the book of Revelations. It may not have occurred yet. That's the point. Okay, so let's go to the next instruction. Let's turn our Bible sources back to instruction number 42. and we're going to look at this instruction, Shalom, King of Israel, all right? And that's who slew Zechariah for noncompliance or disobedience to God. Let's look at what it says about him in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 13 through 15. This is what it says. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 9th and 13th year of Azariah, king of Judah. And he reigned a full month in Samaria. So Shalom, who killed Zechariah didn't reign but a minute, and Shalom reigned less than that. Listen to what it says in verse 14. It says, for Menahem, the son of Gadai from Tarza, and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabez, in Samaria, and slew him, and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracy that he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So again, this is a storyline we're following, the chronology of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah in this history book. So we're getting snippets of some of what they did. All right, so again, I am going to return to our New Testament complement, the book of Revelations, because that seems to be very pertinent in this instance because of the last of the conspiracies is when Jesus takes over. So we're looking at Revelations chapter 20, verse 1 through 4, and I'll read it again, but it's just as I read in the last instruction, but it's worthy to be read again. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. My precious brothers and sisters, as we read it the second time, it seems to be a little clearer that that has not occurred. I know that there are some theologians that have identified certain instances in this experience in Christianity that, for instance, when as way back as Constantine, when he liberated Christianity, and at that time when Christianity became the religion of the empire, that was when this occurred. My brothers and sisters, we know that because we've outlived that, it did not occur yet, because we would be complete with the end times if it had. And we're still living, and it's been thousands, at least 1,000 years since that occurred, maybe 2,000 or close to it. Anyway, that's beside the point. But that is, again, part of the scenario, and I wanted you to get that understanding that this is part of what happens when you are deceiving and not obeying God's word. And now let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to instruction number 43. All right? And instruction number 43 is going to tell us about Menahem, the king of Israel, who slew Shalom, the king of Israel, who slew Zechariah, the king of Israel. All right? We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 16 through 22. 16 through 22. And this is what it says. Then Menahem smote Tarsa and all that were therein, and the coast thereof from Tarza, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with children he ripped up. And the ninth and 13th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Mehaham, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all of his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Mehaham gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria, so that the king of Assyria turned back and stayed in the land. So we can see that Menahem, again, he was not obedient to God. I see that we're at the last, break for tonight. Let's take that last break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Would you do the world a favor and be you? Because everybody else is already taken. Do the world a favor and be you. The world needs you, or God wouldn't have made you. If God wanted me to be somebody else, I wouldn't be here. I would be them. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop letting the culture define what's beautiful. God says you're beautiful. Have you listened to God's voice in Psalms 139, 13, and 14? That when you were in your mother's womb, you were wonderfully and fearfully made? Have you looked in the mirror and said, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made because God says? Or have you looked at TV images? Have you looked at magazine covers and said, oh, I'm ugly because I don't look like them? And God is going, precious child, you are beautiful to me.
Too many people go around feeling wrong on the inside. They don't really like who they are. They focus on their faults, weaknesses. They're constantly critical toward themselves. That recording of everything they've done wrong is always playing in their mind. You're impatient. You blew your diet yesterday. You lost your temper. You're still struggling with that addiction. You should be ashamed of yourself. They wonder why they're not happy. It's because they have this war going on the inside. You're not supposed to go through life feeling wrong about yourself. Quit focusing on your faults. Quit overanalyzing your weaknesses. Quit beating yourself up because you're not where you thought you would be. Here's the key. You're not a finished product. God is still working on you. The scripture says God changes us from glory to glory. You have to learn to enjoy the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. There may be some areas where you know you need to improve, but being down on yourself is not going to help you do better. Having that nagging feeling, telling you you don't measure up, God's not pleased with you, you'll never get it right, it's not going to help you move forward. You have to accept yourself right where you are, faults and all. God is the potter, we are the clay. He's the one making you and molding you. It may not be happening as fast as you would like, but you don't control the timetable. Will you trust him in the process? Will you accept yourself in the glory that you're in right now? Don't go around being against yourself. You may have some things wrong with you, but can I tell you, you have a lot more right with you. You may have a long way to go, but if you look back, you'll see how far you've already come. Keep your flaws in perspective. Every person has something they're dealing with. When you are for yourself, you are in agreement with God. And some people have never once said, I like myself. I like my gifts. I like my personality. I like my looks. I'm happy with who God made me to be. If you don't like yourself in a healthy way, other people are not going to like you. You project what you believe on the inside. If you feel wrong about yourself, you project inferiority, unfriendliness, discontentment. I'm asking you to feel good about who you are. You may not be where you want to be, but you're on the way. God is changing you from glory to glory. Start enjoying the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. Don't you dare go through life against yourself. God is saying today, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Now do your part. Start putting on the breastplate of God's approval each morning. If you'll do this, I believe and declare every chain that's holding you back is being broken. God is going to keep making you and molding you. You're going to come up higher, overcome those obstacles, and become everything He's created you to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at Menahem, king of Israel, who slew Shalem, the king of Israel, who slew Zechariah, the king of Israel. These guys definitely were disobedient, and we know that the end result, that they themselves were killed. And now we're going to look at our New Testament compliment on Menahem, king of Israel. And turn your Bible sources with me. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read again what happens when you're disobedient. And I think that this is significant because this is New Testament terminology that we may can relate to better than the Old Testament. Listen to what, again, we're reading Matthew chapter 2, which we just read a minute ago about Herod. And we're going to start with verse 7. This is what it says. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Remember, he was being deceitful because he wanted to get rid of the Messiah. Verse 8 continues, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Now we're going to go to verse 16 for more clarity. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Again, you see what Herod did, disobedient and deceitful. And what happened to him? He ended up killing all the children trying to get to the Messiah. And verse 19 through 21 completes the thought. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard, and that's the completion of the thought. And the key again is disobedience to God is going to cause your demise. Now let's go to the next instruction, instruction 44, and we're going to continue to learn about some of these kings and their exploits. We're going to look at Pekahiah, king of Israel, another king of Israel, and we're going to look at 2 Kings, verse chapter 15, verse 23 through 26. And this is what it says. In the fifth year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria, in the palace of the king's house, with Argoth and Ariah, and with his 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him, and he reigned in his stead. and the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. My precious brothers and sisters, this is, again, a history account, and this is why a lot of it is, like, repetitious, and it is significant in that it tells about all of the exploits of all of these kings, how they fought against one another, how they obeyed God, they didn't obey God. This is showing us of what is happening today in our lives, where individual men and women are, you know, killing one another, and some obeying, some disobeying, and being deceitful. All of these traits are something that we should avoid, the ones that are against God, and employ the ones and apply the ones that are for God. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 33 through 41. And this is a parable that Jesus gave that kind of relates to what all of this, or at least what Pekahiah did, or, you know, Pekahiah. This is what it says. Hear another parable, Jesus says. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit thereof. And the husbandmen took his servants, beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto others, husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. So obedience is the key here. And we understand that out of all these kings that we're reading, one killing the other and another killing the other, that deceit, that God takes care of that. And he continues to eradicate or remove those who will not comply. And in this parable Jesus gives is the ultimate of his son. And we know that if you do not respond to Jesus the Christ, death is the of the soul and is the ultimate answer. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Maybe we can get one more in before we end the class. I'm thinking maybe we won't. I think we'll end the class right here where we concluded with instruction number 44. We'll do number 45 next week. And before we end the class, what I'd like to tell you is that both the host and I are appreciative for you taking part in this study, and we bless you, and we encourage you to continue to participate. So as I say goodnight to all of those who are listening out there and who have taken part, remember what God and what Jesus said. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Remember that, my precious brothers and sisters. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.